All right, Kerry's having a couple of technical difficulties out at the Oakland Coliseum, so I'm lucky enough to chat with Bobby Nightingale of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Bobby, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
No, we're glad to have you on, always. And let me tell you, I've been talking about the Reds for 3 months now. And we talk about Manager of the Year and Gabe Kapler, obviously a favorite out here. But I brought it up today for David Bell. He ought to get some sort of humanitarian award for handling this bullpen all year long. And he's got him into a position now where you're tied with the Padres. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's been known kind of since spring training that bullpen was going to be their weakness. They traded Raisel Iglesias in the offseason to the Angels. They cut Archie Bradley, non-tendered him in December, and he ended up signing with the Phillies. So they lost two big pieces at the back end of their bullpen. Amir Garrett came into the season probably as their favorite to be closer, and he's struggled the entire season. His ERA is around 7. So it was one of those, they really had to kind of piece everything together for the last few months. And like you said, I mean, David Bell kind of had to weather all that. I mean, the team's leader in saves, Heath Hembree, he got cut last week and just got claimed off waivers by the Mets. So, yeah. I mean, it's been a revolving door.
Boy, amazing. But David Bell's got him in a position here. So let's talk about the bullpen right now because Michael Givens is in there. Lorenzen is back, who we've always enjoyed him. How are they getting it done? Because, you know, Sonny Gray and Miley, you know, these guys, Castillo's pitching great, but, you know, they're 6-7 innings at best. How do you close a game with these guys?
Yeah, the two guys you mentioned, the two Michaels, Michael Givens from the Rockies, that was a good trade they made right before the trade deadline. Just adding a guy, he hasn't given up a run since he's joined the Reds bullpen. Michael Lorenzen, what he's done is pretty incredible. I mean, he has a severe hamstring strain that he thought was going to end his season after he injured it in a season debut and came back 2 weeks later, and he hasn't given up a run either. So those two kind of led the way. T.J. Antone, who was probably their top reliever for most of the season, he's been on the injured list since June. He should be back on Tuesday, early next week. So they're getting at least a few guys where they can depend on in the late innings, and basically it's just trying to bridge the gap to get to those guys is the big question mark.
Is Antone coming back full strength? Because he was terrific when he pitched out here against the Giants. I think it was the only game the Reds won is when he came in maybe the seventh inning and took it to the ninth. Is he going to come back fully healed?
Yeah, he's been on a rehab assignment for about 2 or 3 weeks now, made 6 or 7 appearances. So he's had some time. He went on the injured list once in June, made like 2 appearances, and then went right back on the injured list with another forearm strain. So it's one of those, they wanted to be really cautious about it, but he says he's healthy. He says he's ready to go, and, you know, I think it's one of those things where kind of helps. You got a midseason breather. Now he only has 30-some games left to kind of max out.
All right. Bobby Nightingale is joining us, Cincinnati Inquirer. The Reds are tied with the Padres for the second wild card, and the Cardinals are breathing down everybody's neck, and also don't overlook the Phillies. They're just 4 games back of both Cincinnati and San Diego. Well, we talk about MVP, and I know everybody in the world says Tatis, and everybody looks at him, and he should be the MVP. But you've got a guy in Cincinnati, and he's doing amazing things, Joey Votto, and he's put this team on his back. And, I mean, you see it every night, every day. Tell us about Joey Votto and what it looks like and what he's accomplished here.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like vintage Joey Votto, the one that won MVP in 2010 and finished second in the MVP voting in 2017. I mean, this power, I don't know that we've ever seen him hit like this in terms of home runs. He's homered 17 times in his last 29 games. I mean, he's just trying to do damage. He's standing up more straight at the plate. This has kind of been his goal all year, was to hit for more power. But, you know, spring training, he tested positive for COVID. That kind of hurt him at the beginning of the year. Then he broke his thumb, so he was out for a month. And then as soon as he came back from his thumb injury, so for the past 3 months, he's been, I think, the best player in the National League. I think Tatis still is favorite for MVP just because he's done it all year. But what Votto's doing is incredible for a guy who's, he'll turn 38 in a couple weeks.
And I know Hal McCoy writes about it all the time, and you do as well, all the accomplishments of Votto. But when you look at his career, and we talked about it this morning, Bruce Jenkins and I, Hall of Fame, and there's an argument. Many people make an argument here that he is, without a doubt, a Hall of Famer. leading the league in on-base percentage so many times, MVP, things like that. Do you see that as a Hall of Famer in his future?
Yeah, I do. I think going into this year, I thought maybe it was going to be one of those where maybe it was on a Scott Rolen path where it would take a few years and, you know, the percentage would keep ticking upwards and eventually he, like Rolen, probably will in a couple of years. You know, I thought it would take a few years. Now he's making an argument, you know, maybe he's first or second ballot type Hall of Famer. I mean, if he's able to do this at 37 and continue with this for next year or even a year after this, I mean, he's starting to cross some big milestones. He got his 2000th hit. He's over 300 homers. You know, he's won MVP once, runner-up another time. And if he's in the conversation for top five, which I think he is if he continues this for another month and a half, you know, that's a huge feather in his cap for not only what he does for getting on base all the time, but, you know, starting to drive in a ton of runs. I mean, he's, I think, since he came off the injured list, it's like 70 RBIs in 71 games or something like that. So, you know, he's kind of changed his approach, and he's showing, you know, there's still a lot left in the tank.
Well, I put him up there for MVP with Crawford and Posey and Tatis and Freddie Freeman. I think Freddie Freeman and Votto are very similar players. So it's going to be a good race there. Bobby Nightingale with us. Pitching-wise, looking at the Reds, I mean, Castillo's made a major turnaround. The numbers are still, you know, fairly high because he was so awful in the beginning of the year. But Sonny Gray, I mean, the other day, seven innings, I think, of one-hit ball. Miley's still doing it. Malley's still doing it. How about the Reds pitching? Could they actually, you think, make a run here in the postseason if they get in?
They certainly have the pitching depth, I think, to at least scare some teams. You know, if Castillo's on, I think he's one of the best pitchers in the National League up there. He struggled when he faced the Giants in May. I mean, back then he was one of the worst pitchers in the league, and since then he's been on a remarkable turnaround, ERA below two for the past 3 months. And then, like, Wade Miley, I mean, he's been kind of a – if it wasn't for Votto, I mean, I think he's the guy who everyone would be talking about for a late career surge. I mean, what he's able to do – top 10 in the league in ERA. I think it's 2.8 at this point, and he pitches tonight. So it's impressive what they're able to do at the top of the rotation. Tyler Malley had some ups and downs, but he's a guy, if he's right, I mean, he's a really solid number three. And then Vladimir Gutierrez, He's a rookie who got called up in June. He's been incredible for them as well.
Yeah, he's been terrific. He has just been terrific. He gives you six, seven innings just about every time out. Gutierrez has been terrific. Well, the Giants, you know, who knows? They could be a wild card team, and they could end up playing the Reds again. And I go back to thinking, I mean, Malley, they blasted out of there in Cincinnati. Jonathan India is a big part of the team now. He wasn't as much of a factor when the Giants saw the Reds the first time, but Jonathan India all of a sudden is a rookie of the year.
Yeah, I think he's the front runner now just with Miami's Trevor Rogers. He's dominated all season, but he hasn't pitched in a few weeks. Had some family things going on, so he's been away from the team for a bit. And India, I mean, they moved him to the leadoff spot on June 5th, and since then, he's been as big a part of the offense as anybody, including Joey Votto. I mean, when he gets on base, it's like when he goes, the rest of the team goes. And when he struggles, you know, the Reds have a lot of trouble scoring runs. He's just such a huge part of their offense from leadoff spot, hitting in front of guys like Jesse Winker, Nick Castellanos, and Votto. But he sets the table. He's been exceeded expectations that a lot of people had for him, including me.
Yeah, he's getting better every day. Jonathan India. What about Castellanos? Is he healthy? I know Winkler's got trouble now.
Yeah, Winker's on the injured list now, and then Castellanos came back from he got hit by a pitch on his wrist, has a small fracture in his wrist, and playing through it. He's not at the level he was before he got hurt. At that point, I mean, he was, you know, somewhere in the MVP race. Now he's cooled off a little bit, but you're starting to see some timing coming back. He had a homer yesterday or 2 days ago, and starting to find a little bit of a groove, but he's not 100% healthy, but he's managing, and it seems like he's getting better each week.
Is this whole thing a surprise for you? I mean, let's face it, you know, chasing the Brewers and you lose a few games, you're back to 10 out and all that, but this wild card is really alive. Surprised by how this turned out?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I think, you know, late June, I mean, they were eight games out of first place in the division and eight games out of the wild card. You know, when they finally started to make a little surge right before the All-Star break, they got swept by the Brewers in their first series afterwards. So there's been a lot of times where it was easy to kind of count them out, but give them credit. I mean, they've just played solid baseball. They're beating up on really bad teams, and they started to beat some good teams. I mean, they took 2 out of 3 from Philadelphia in Philadelphia last weekend. So it's one of those you're starting to see them gain confidence. The offense is – if the offense was at this point last year, I think they would have been a lot better team last year. But that's been carrying them. Their pitching's starting to come alive, and it's just one of those – if the bullpen can figure their issues out and they can hold on to leads, you know, I think they like their chances, especially with a soft schedule the next 6 weeks left. I mean, a lot of games against the Pirates coming up.
Well, boy, we could see the Reds in the Giants' future. This could happen, so we'll have to keep our eye on it. Bobby, thank you so much for the report. We'll keep in touch with you. This is a good story, the Reds in the National League. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, that is Bobby Nightingale. He covers the Reds for the Cincinnati Inquirer. All right, more coming up. We're going to go up to the booth next and chat with a little bit about baseball and other things, this Bay Bridge series. And we'll do that and more right after this on KNBR 680, 104.5, the Sports Leader.